2 Corinthians 3, great passage this morning about our sufficiency. Beginning in verse 1, do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. Forasmuch as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. So we'll stop there. The title of the message is Our Sufficiency is of God. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you for the privilege to assemble this morning, to focus on you. And I pray now, Lord, as we open our hearts, that your word would work miracles in our lives, to grow us, to teach us, to change us. We just want to please you, Lord. We want to lift up Jesus, our Savior. We pray the Holy Ghost would guide every aspect of the remaining part of this service, and you would be honored. We ask this in the name of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So the Apostle Paul here is writing to the Corinthians, his second epistle. Remember, the first epistle was an epistle of rebuke. And here in the second epistle, he is in some ways having to defend his apostleship because the Corinthians were, again, they had to be rebuked in the first one. And some of them took it kind of hard. But so that's why he tells them there in verse 1, do we have to commend ourselves? Or do we have to have some sort of a letter of commendation or some sort of an approval? Because Paul was the one that planted the church. Paul is the one that led most of these people to Christ himself. And so he's writing to them and saying, we don't need that. Because as he says in verse 2, ye are our epistle. We don't need a letter of commendation because we led you to Christ ourselves. And ye, as evidence of your salvation and of your commitment to go to church, ye are our epistle. And I believe the Bible clearly teaches here that when God gives us an opportunity to share the gospel with someone and they get saved, that's just another part of laying up treasures in heaven. Let's think about it. We get to spend forever with that person in glory that God allowed us the privilege of sharing the gospel with, and they trusted Christ. And most of us could point back to the person that shared the gospel with us, and we trusted the Lord Jesus Christ because of their witness. And in a way, as Paul explains here, they're kind of like our spiritual father, our spiritual mother. And that's what Paul's saying here. He said it to Timothy as well. He said, I'm kind of like your spiritual father because I'm the one who led you to the Lord. So ye are our epistle. Ye are that letter of commendation. If you go to 1 Thessalonians, he says the same thing to them, chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 19. The Bible says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Now, we don't know a lot about the crown of rejoicing, but some people call it the soul winner's crown or the witnessing crown. But it looks like there may be a crown of rejoicing for when we witness to people and they get saved. And Paul is saying to these Corinthian Christians, I don't need any sort of commendation or epistle. The fact that you're born again is that epistle. And you know, it's the same as for us as Christians. We don't need to tell anybody that we love God or that we're spiritual. If we are spiritual and if we do love God, it's going to be evident in our behavior. Amen? Because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. All those things are just going to flow out of us if we're being led by the Spirit of God, if we're truly a spiritual Christian. And that's what Paul's saying. He says, our own behavior is all that we need. He told them in the first epistle, in chapter 11, he says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. My own life is a reflection of my profession in Jesus Christ, and that should be true for all of us. But he's not trying to take the credit. That's not the point, as we'll see. He's trying to explain to them that if we're going to live for God, then live for God. And God will take care of the rest. So go back to our passage here in verse 3. He says, "You're manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God." Paul isn't saying that he saved anybody. Because, folks, we don't have the power to save anybody. We only have within our grasp the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we can share that. But if a person trusts Christ, that wasn't us. That was the Holy Spirit convicting that heart of their need for Jesus Christ. And then they had to make a decision whether or not to repent and trust Jesus Christ. And that's between them and God. We don't have the power to win anybody. All we have the power to do is share the gospel. And if the Spirit of God isn't convicting that heart, and if the Spirit of God does not convince that heart and save that heart, then they're not saved. Whether they prayed a prayer or not isn't the point. It's whether or not they trusted Jesus Christ and whether or not the Holy Spirit was involved. And that's what he's saying. He says, it wasn't us. It was the Spirit that led you to the Lord. It was the Spirit that saved you. It was the Spirit that made you part of the body of Christ. As we read in 1 Corinthians 12:13, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free. We've all been made to drink into that one Spirit." It's the Holy Spirit that does it. Go to Romans chapter 8, and we'll see this, where the Apostle Paul again is explaining that if we don't have the Holy Spirit of God, we're not saved. You know, there's Christians out there that try to say, "Oh, well, you need to pray that you keep the Holy Spirit." No, you can't lose the Holy Spirit. You're sealed until the day of redemption by the Holy Spirit. But notice Romans 8:9, "You're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness." So notice it says, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're not one of his. So having the Spirit of Christ and being one of God's children is synonymous. And Paul is explaining that to these Corinthians. But go back to our passage, because the focus of this passage now is Paul is trying to explain to them that he's accomplished all of these things, and he continues to accomplish things for the cause of Christ, not because of who he is, but because of who God is. And we need to catch this as Christians. So notice verse 4, "And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves." If you have the anticipation that God is going to do great things through you, that is a great thing. That's called faith. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But if it happens, it's not because of you, it's because of God. We are just wicked sinners saved by grace. And it's God that has the power to accomplish anything, not us. And that's what Paul wants them to understand. He says, yes, I'm the one that planted that church. And yes, I'm the one that God allowed the privilege to share the gospel with you. But it's God that saved you. It's God that established that church. It's God that does everything. And it's God that should always get all of the glory. We can't take any. He tells us in Isaiah 42 that he will not share his glory with another. And he won't. And so Paul's trying to put it back on the Lord. He says, we're trusting that God is going to keep growing you. That's what he's saying to them in verse 4. We trust that have we through Christ to Godward that you're going to keep growing in your faith. The Bible says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, in Philippians 1:6. But now the heart of our message, verse 5, we are not sufficient to think anything as of ourselves. The original sin was pride. Right? We can read about it in Isaiah 14, Ezekiel chapter 28. The devil, who was a special being, he wasn't just an angel, he was the anointed cherub that covereth. Because of pride, he fell. He wanted, above all else, God's power, God's throne. Well, that has flowed down through Adam and Eve to us. And the underlying biggest problem that we have is pride. Now, it manifests itself in a lot of different ways. Selfishness, unforgiveness, a lot of different ways. But in the end, usually the root is pride. And that's why Paul is saying, we don't think anything as of ourselves. We are just sinners saved by grace. And the devil, unfortunately, uses pride against us. If you go to Galatians 6, we'll look at a couple of scriptures on this. But this is something that we always have to be careful of. Because the devil's going to sneak in there. If you've been saved a while, he's going to say, look what you've accomplished. You're a super Christian. And as soon as you start having thoughts like that, you're right where the devil wants you. Because now, instead of blessing you, God has to chastise you for pride, which is sin. Notice Galatians 6:3. If a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. So who is nothing? Listen, folks, outside of Christ, we all are. We're just nothing. We're just a big ball of dirt. That's what the Bible says. He formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. We're just made out of dirt. And not only are we made out of dirt, but we're sinners. And we've broken God's laws hundreds and thousands of times. So do we deserve to go to heaven? Absolutely not. If you're going to heaven, it's because God is a merciful, gracious, loving God, not because you deserve it. And it's a gift that he offered because of the suffering of Jesus Christ and his resurrection. And we have to keep that perspective from the day we get saved till the day God calls us to glory, that it's all about God and it's not about us. Go to 1 Corinthians 8:2. We'll see another scripture on this. But Paul is saying we don't think anything as of ourselves. There was another time when he was defending his apostleship in 2 Corinthians and he began to list all the things that he had suffered for Christ. And he said, if I'm going to have to give a resume to prove myself to you, I'm not going to talk about all the languages that I can speak. I'm not going to talk about how I was taught all the Jewish ways from the feet of a famous Jewish teacher. I'm going to talk about all the suffering. That's my resume. All that I've suffered for Jesus Christ. Because it's all about Him. Notice 1 Corinthians 8:2. If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. So that needs to be our perspective. As long as we keep pleading ignorance, we're where we need to be. Amen? But as soon as we think we have all the answers and we got it all figured out, that's exactly where the devil wants us. And that's what Paul's saying. I may be the apostle to the Gentiles. I may have planted multiple churches and seen literally thousands of people saved, but I don't think anything of myself. Because all of that was done by God through me. And that always needs to be our perspective. And as long as it is, then God will keep using us. God will keep flowing through us to accomplish things. But as soon as we try to take some credit, we're in trouble. Paul said later in Galatians 6, he said, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I'm not going to glory in anything except in what Jesus did for me in saving me from hell. In 2 Corinthians 4, he says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. In other words, we're just vessels of clay so that God gets all the glory when things happen. But back to our passage, 2 Corinthians, notice verse 5. But our sufficiency is of God. Some people really like my preaching. Second Corinthians 3:5. Our sufficiency is of God. So two aspects that Paul's trying to get across here. Number one, we have no power in and of ourselves. Anything that gets accomplished is accomplished through God. But number two, through God, anything can happen. Now that should make us excited. That through God, great things can be accomplished. And He will use us, dirty, rotten sinners made of dirt, to accomplish things. Now, He chose to do it this way. He could have just let us all go to hell, and He would have been fully justified in doing it. It's the facts. You know, Jesus prayed in the garden. He said, "Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me." Jesus could have changed His mind and just said, "I'm going back to heaven," and they can just all go to hell. And we would have had no place to argue because He's God. But He loved us enough to go through it. Our sufficiency is of God. And if you go to 2 Corinthians 9, I want to show you how much sufficiency is available to every believer who will let God be the sufficiency. Now, in this passage, he's primarily talking about giving. Verse 6, "He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Look at verse 8. "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." I love that verse. Look at the words he uses. All sufficiency, always, all things, every good work. That sounds like a lot of sufficiency. And that's what's available to every believer. All sufficiency. Remember when Paul came to God at one point? He had that thorn. 2 Corinthians 12, he said, "If it be possible, let this take this away." Three times he besought the Lord. And what did God say? "My grace is sufficient." 2 Corinthians 12, 9. In other words, I have enough grace to take care of you. And I'm not going to take away the thorn because you need it, Paul. But my grace is sufficient. We have, through Jesus Christ our Savior, the sufficiency to do whatever God wants us to do. And God wants every one of us to do great things for Him. You know, when we read through Hebrews 11 and read about the great heroes of the faith, our perspective shouldn't be, "Wow, look what they did. They were just such amazing believers in the Lord." No, our perspective should be, "You know what? God can do that through me too. If I'll just surrender, if I'll just believe. It says, by faith they did this, and by faith they did this, and by faith this." It's the same God. And by faith, those great things can be accomplished in our lives as well. But it's who are we going to rely on? Go to John 15. I want to show you what Jesus said about this. This was before he went to the cross, but he was explaining to his disciples that there was going to come a day when he wouldn't be there. Because John 15 is when he was in the upper room with his disciples, preparing them for his departure. He'd already told them that he was going to leave. But he did say in chapter 14 he was going to come back. Until then he said he'd send the Holy Ghost. But here in chapter 15, he says in verse 5, "I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." Look at the last phrase. "For without me, ye can do nothing." That needs to always be our perspective. And yet, how many times do we get up and head off into our day without asking God for wisdom or direction? What are we saying? "Lord, I got this." But Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." So we're actually trying to do it in our own strength. Jesus said we can't accomplish anything in our own strength. But how often do we try? That's called pride. And that's what we have to be aware of. Now go to Philippians 2. I want to show you a couple more scriptures where Jesus, through Paul, makes it ever so clear that we can do nothing in and of ourselves, but through God, we can do great things. Look at Philippians 2:13. The Bible says, "For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Look what he's saying there. God will work in us to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. But it falls on us to let him. Go now to chapter 3 of Philippians, verse 3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Every time we set off to teach a Sunday school class without committing it to God first, we are having confidence in the flesh. Every time we go to witness to somebody and we haven't yielded to the Holy Spirit and asked for His guidance, we're witnessing in the flesh. God says, have no confidence in the flesh. Can't trust it. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 10 says, I know, Lord, that the way of man is not in himself. It is not a man that walketh the directest steps. We don't know the way. We don't know the answers. And we definitely don't have the power. But what does it say in chapter 4 of Philippians? I can do all things, what? Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ. There's that word all again. So what can be accomplished through Christ? All things. Anything. The possibilities are absolutely endless. Because our sufficiency is of God. Now go on to chapter 3, verse 6 now. We'll finish up here in 2 Corinthians. He says, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament. Able ministers of the New Testament. Now, we may not be apostles, but we're still ministers of the New Testament. We are still called ambassadors for Christ in 2 Corinthians 5:20. The Bible says, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. We still are to take the words of this book to a lost and dying world. But we're to do it with God's sufficiency. And as we rely on Him, that sufficiency is endless. As we saw in 2 Corinthians 9:8. And Paul's saying, look what he's done. He took me, who used to kill Christians, and look what he's done in my life. He's made me an apostle to the Gentiles. And he's brought me through a lot of suffering to mold me into what I need to be. But ultimately, what did he want me to be but a minister of the New Testament? That's what he wants all of us to be. And as he says in verse 6, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. The letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Again, it's the Spirit that is the one that has to save. It's the Spirit that has to witness to the lost and convict the hearts to be saved. It's the Spirit that gives life. Jesus told us that in John 6. It's the Spirit that quickeneth. And it's the Spirit that will empower us as well. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. So our sufficiency must be of God. As Paul said here, we are not sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves. It's not about us. It's about God. But if we will rely on God and let Him be our sufficiency, we can do it. We can get through that trial. We can see that need met. We can touch other lives for Jesus Christ. We can see great things accomplished for the Lord because our sufficiency is of God, and that is an infinite reservoir of sufficiency. God, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. God wants to use every single one of us. He doesn't reach down and say, oh, you're a better Christian than you, so I'm going to use you more. No. It comes down to whether or not we're willing to yield to God and let God work through us. It's the same God, same power, same Holy Spirit. All of us can do great things for God, but it must be through His sufficiency.